1 Kings 18, I want to read just a few verses with you this morning. I'm going to begin with verse number 17. Kings 18, verse number 17. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he said, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send, and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word." If we could, Brother Tommy, would you pray for us, please?
Most gracious, wonderful Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for us being able to sit here and listen to your service this morning. Thank you for letting us be able to listen to this sermon that I know that you sent to Brother Chase here, Lord. That only you would send it, Lord, and we're going to receive it. And I thank you, Lord. Father, I want to thank you for being able to be a part of our church here and be a part of these Christian people here, Lord. It's just a blessing to walk through these doors any given day. Lord, just have not one person to walk out of this building unsaved of that.
Amen.
Father, I want to thank you for all you do for us each and every day of our lives. Father, be your Brother Chase as he brings you message this morning. And Lord, just have him be able to put it across to us the way we need it. Father, thank you for all your blessings. Thank you for each and everything you do. For these things, Father, I pray in that sweet, holy, precious name.
Amen. 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 I want to speak to you on the subject out of this chapter of In Tune with God. If you will, now look down at verse number 41. What happens is he gathers all these prophets up. It's a time of drought. And they haven't had rain for 3.5 years. It's a long time. And they're in a very dry period, both physically and spiritually. And so he gets all these prophets up here, and he said, "The Lord, the God that answers by fire, He is the God." And they took all their water supply and drenched the ground 3 times. And you know what? They called on their God, and their God didn't answer. And Elijah called on his God, and he answered by fire. Now, that's what he said that was going to happen. The God answered by fire. He's going to be the God. Now they need rain. So you read here from verse number 41, it says, "And Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain." Now nobody else could hear it, but Elijah could hear it. It says, "So Ahab went up to eat and to drink." What a sad commentary on him. "And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, Go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, There is nothing. And he said, Go again 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, Go up, say unto Ahab, Prepare thy chariot, and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not." You know what he's saying? Rain's about to come, and it's going to flood. Elijah, way before the rain ever got there, he could hear. Before anybody else could hear it, he could hear the sound of an abundance of rain. You know why he could hear that sound? Because he was in tune with God.
Amen.
Now, I don't profess to know everything there is to know about being in tune with God, but I know this. I can look at a story in the Bible about a man who was in tune with God in this particular chapter. And I can tell you what he did and what we need to do to be in tune with God. You know, one of the greatest needs of our time right now is not what the world thinks it is, and oftentimes many Christians think that, hey, society's got this problem, and the government's got this problem, and the world's got their problem. That's not the issue we're facing here. You know what the issue we need to face is, are we in tune with God, our own self?
Amen.
All that other stuff's up to God. You can't change all. You think you can change what's going on?
Right.
You know who you can change? Yourself.
Yeah.
You know what we need to do? Be in tune with God.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what we've got to do. Now, the thing is, I was looking at my dictionary, and I was looking at some synonyms with the word tune. And agreement is a synonym with the word tune. So I looked in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16. It says, And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? You know what he's saying? What tuning? What are y'all in tune? You can't be in tune with God if you're sitting down here having fellowship with people that's worshiping the devil.
Yeah, right.
You know what we do is we have fellowship. You say, I don't have fellowship with devil worshipers. You get out here and these people are lost as a needle in a stack of needles, and you enjoy their entertainment. And we think, no big deal. Well, I'm just telling you, yeah, all of us do. That don't make it right.
Right.
People say, I've done that when I was little. That didn't make it right.
That's right.
People just do some of the craziest stuff.
Right.
What he's saying is, you're out of tune. He said, for ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. He's walking in you because he's in you, inside you, on the Holy Spirit of God. Once you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, he's walking in you. And we need to be in tune with him. And so, hey, what he's telling them is they're out of tune. Now you think about being in tune with God. I've got a guitar right here, and I'm not going to play you no song or anything, but I'm going to do something with God's help here that might help illustrate my point. You got to be in tune. Now if I take this guitar and I just play a chord with it, that's an E chord. That's a G chord. That sound, you know, y'all don't mind hearing that. You know? Old. So I'm sitting here playing this guitar. You don't mind hearing that chord. I can just sit here and play this thing. Now, if I take just this top E chord here, something's off. See, everything don't sound right. Now, would you want me to play a song? You're sitting there going, that guy, something's off. Now, have you ever in your relationship with God, you can't hear from God, you don't want to hear from God? Why? Y'all don't want me to hear me play a song with a guitar out of tune. It just don't sound right. Now, sometimes you get out of tune with God, you wonder what's going on, and you're saying, something just don't sound right. I can't hear the sound. You're not wanting to hear it because you're out of tune. So what you do is, you take this thing right here, and you tune it up. Now, you know what happens? You get right back in tune. See, you don't mind. I don't know what I just played and made something up. But I'm just telling you, that guitar is fun to play when it's in tune. You can enjoy the sound of it.
Amen.
Now, you know what happens with people? They get out of tune with God. And when God tells you something, you don't like the sound of it because you're out of tune.
Yeah.
You know what's wrong with these people right here? They're out of tune. It's not that God... See, people get this mentality of God that He's ready to beat you up. He's ready to break your car down. He's ready to put your water heater out and all this stuff. That's not the God you serve. But when God tells you something and you're out of tune, it doesn't sound right. And you're not wanting to hear it.
Yes.
I don't like the way that preacher sounds. Maybe you're out of tune.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not always. Now, sometimes, granted, it is the preacher. I will give you that. Some of these preachers don't have enough sense to get in out of rain. And maybe myself sometimes. But I'm telling you this, we can't always blame it on somebody else.
Right.
We got to look in the mirror and say, is it our fault?
Right.
And what we're going to look at right here is, you got to get the words of God with the guidance of the Holy Spirit. When you're out of tune, you can't hear properly. You can't hear the sound. He was able to hear the sound when no one else was. Why? They were all out of tune.
Amen.
He could hear the sound. You know what I want y'all to do is enjoy your fellowship with the Lord, enjoy the sound of that sweet fellowship with the Lord. Do you know? You know, there's a sound to it. You go outside and you're still for just a little while. It's nothing like hearing those birds singing. Nothing like hearing that gentle breeze in the trees. You know, those leaves rustling around a little bit, and just the background noise of sitting on the front porch and things. Just being able to enjoy. There's a sound. And whenever you're in fellowship, there's a sound to it. It's a melody to it. And you know what? When you're out of fellowship with the Lord, there's a sound to it. And the sound is so bad, you don't want to hear it oftentimes. You know what we need to do is be in tune with God. He'll be trying to say something to you, and it just don't sound right. You can get that thing if your guitar or your instrument's too sharp. You know what the Bible says? Sharpness can cause contention. You can get over there and sometimes that instrument's flat. You know what flatness does? Cause callousness. You get flat, you get out of tune, you're flat, your instrument's flat, you know what it do? Your heart will get callous toward God.
That's right.
Just like me, I'm flat-footed. All I do with my feet, I don't roll my feet, I pick them up and set them down. And you know what? I got calluses on my feet, so Carla has to fix it. Now, you know what happens with us? You get out of tune with God and you wonder where them calluses come from.
There you go.
You're out of tune, you've been out of tune, you've been flat on the Lord.
There you go.
And you're getting calloused. Amen. You know what He says to you sometime? I just want to get you back in tune. Why? So you can enjoy that sound.
Amen.
That the Lord's speaking to you and you like to hear it. Why? Whether it's good or bad. Now, I want to see together some things in this text, or have you look at some things that He did that'll help us get in tune, I believe. And number one that He did in verse number 18 is He took a stand. In verse number 18, here He is. He's got people against Him. And you better believe the more you serve God, you're going to have people against you.
Yeah.
And He's taking a stand. Now, one thing about His taking a stand is when you take a stand, you're going to have to realize He was divisive. And sometimes you're going to have to be divisive. You know what He said over here? He said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If God's God, follow Him. If Baal's God, follow Him. But don't just straddle the fence.
Amen.
You know what some folks need to do in this generation? Just go ahead and take a stand.
Yeah.
Yes.
If you're going to follow God, follow God. If you're going to follow Baal, follow Baal.
Amen.
Y'all, we're living in a generation today that don't want to take a stand on anything. Scared to death of everything. I mean it too. Just scared to death. Elijah, here he is, 450 prophets, and everybody's against him. But whenever you and the Lord are together, you and God's always a majority. You've got to realize that. Look what he says over here in verse number 27. It says, and it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a God. So he said, well, he's a little G-God. Either he's talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awake. You know what he's saying? Maybe he's talking to somebody. Maybe he's off on a journey. Maybe, but say he's doing something, but he can't hear you. Just making fun of him. You know what? He was saying, y'all need to take a stand. That God's not even a God. You know what? Some people serve strange gods. The Bible talks about strange gods. We got them today. You know what? Grass is a strange god. I was talking to a guy, invited him to church and stuff. He said, well, we mow our grass on Sunday. I thought to myself, that's a strange God.
Amen.
I was talking to one guy and he said, man, on Sunday we always clean up our vehicles and stuff. That's a strange God. And not to say, y'all know coming to church don't save you, you know that. But you need to have a worship time with the Lord.
Amen.
When do you worship God? A lot of these people, well, you know, I do all this. They got all this stuff they do. Okay, well, you got all that stuff that you do. Do you worship God sometime? You know what this does? This kind of gives us some kind of accountability. We're coming here. I know I need to be preparing, sir. This helps me. People say, you think you're good, you go to church. No, I'm so bad, I've got to go to church to help me stay in line.
Yeah.
I'm not going to church because I'm good. I'm going because I'm bad. This is a hospital and I need the Lord.
Yeah.
I'm not better than anybody. I'm telling you, I'm so bad I had to have a Savior.
Yeah.
Man, I'm not better than anybody. But you know what you're going to have to do? This thing about Him being divisive, you have to prompt people to make a decision. You know what people need to do in their life? They need to make a decision. That's the kind of divisiveness I'm talking about. There's a sin, a particular sin in the Bible. People really don't talk about this text much, but it's in there. In Judges chapter 5, you don't have to turn there, but I'm going to read this to you. Verse 23, he says, curse ye Meroz said the angel of the Lord, curse ye bitterly the inhabitants thereof. Why? Because they came not to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty. Now you know what? Their neutrality, their riding the fence was their sin. He said they could have come to the help of the Lord, but guess what? They just stayed around and didn't do anything. We're just friends with everybody. Let me tell you something.
That's right.
You can't be friends with everybody and be friends with God. You know what? I'm not looking for a whole bunch of friends. If somebody wants to be my friend, that's fine. When I was younger, I ran into that situation. I've had wise people say, you got too many friends. You know, a lot of folks you think your friends, not really your friends. If you serving God and somebody don't want to help you whenever you're serving God, they're not your real friend anyway. Your real friend will see you get grow close to the Lord and serve Him. You know who my real friends are sitting right here in this room. Why, as folks will see me grow close. It takes you a long time sometimes to realize that. But I'm telling you this right here. You're going to have to be divisive. You're going to have to make a decision in your life. Are you going to serve God or are you going to serve Baal? You know what children need to do in this generation? I wish these upcoming children would come up and just make a decision to serve God. Why? Well, I might offend so and so. Everybody's worried about offending somebody these days. Yep. Just go ahead and offend them then. Are you worried about offending them or are you worried about offending God? Man, I'm going to tell you something. Your real friends, I've offended people, and some of your real friends, you offend them, they just still your friend anyway. They your friend because they love you.
That's right.
Not because you... Look, you think about how many folks that you have contact with and y'all are real friends. Y'all offend each other sometimes. You may not say it, but you're real friends, so it don't affect the relationship. Think about how often I affect my God. I probably offend Him every day in some kind of way. But He's not a fair weather friend. We need to serve Him because we love Him. Make a decision early on or now in your life and say, you know what? If God's God, I'm going to serve God. Why, now's the time to serve Him, not half-hearted. You say, well, is there verses on that? You know what He's telling one of these churches? He told them years ago, it was historical, but it's a good application for today. Revelation 3:15, He said, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold or hot, or nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. That's a strange thing. He said, I'd rather you be cold or hot. Don't be in the middle. You know what I'd rather see people do? Be cold or hot. Why, sometimes your coldness will drive you to the fire. Sometimes you get cold on God and before long you say, man, it's cold in here. I need to put on the Bible said, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ in Ephesians. You know what you did? You took your coat off. You know what you need to do is you need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and that'll help you. You know what He's saying? I want you to do what I think is right, not what you think is right. Now, I was reading a story about years ago. They didn't have these dryers like we have today, evidently. And I think this was the picture I seen was in 52 or 57. But this preacher and his wife was going to see one of their friends, and she had her. It was a real, real cold outside, but she had all her laundry, her white and sheets and stuff like that, were outside, and they were hanging out to dry. And he was coming in there and bragging about how everything was so white. He said, my, you got those sheets just so white. And she said, oh, thank you, and everything. Well, while they was in there, a big snow came up and snow started coming down just like you wouldn't believe. And before long, the ground was covered in snow. And he said, you know, they went out there to get it. And he said, you know, up against this snow here, your whites don't really look so white. And you know what? A lot of times there's a lot of things we think are right.
That's right, brother.
And you get to looking at it up against God's righteousness. And it's nowhere near as white as you thought it was. You know what we got to do? A lot of times we say, if I divide on this issue here, or if I take a stand here, or if I say God's God here, I'm going to... Whatever you're going to do, or whatever you're thinking, you need to think about it the way God thinks about it. Why? It's not near as white as you think it is. You just think it's white, but whenever you compare it to God instead of other men, then you'll see it in the right light. We got to realize that. Now, you think about Elijah being like the Lord here. You say, well, what's the Lord like? The Bible says in Luke 11:23, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. You're either gathering or scattering.
Amen.
Doing one of the two. We got to realize there's right and there's wrong, there's up and there's down, there's white and there's black. There's good and evil, heaven and hell. He's got separation there. And he's saying, I wish you'd serve God. You know, oftentimes we get through the week and we get to going through that week there. And maybe Monday or Tuesday we're doing up, by Wednesday or Thursday there, we start slipping a little bit. Slipping in that praying and slipping. And y'all, you know what he's saying? I want you to serve me every day. I'm the God of Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Amen.
Every day is a holy day. This day is not any more holy than yesterday was. Not any more holy than what tomorrow's going to be. What I'm showing you is there's some things about God that we need to remember. John 7:43 says, so there was a division among the people because of it. Jesus Christ had divided you off with family oftentimes and friends and foes and anything else you can think of. He's divisive. We've got to realize, y'all, if you're going to be in tune with God, you've got to make a decision. He's pointing them to making a decision. And say, you're going to divide off from some things. You know what? To keep in tune with God, there's going to be some things in your life and say, God's Lord over this. I don't need this in my life. This is dragging me down. And that's stuff that only you and God know. I can make some guesses just being a man and stuff like that, but I don't know what's in your heart that you've got going on that you know just as well as I do. That's Baal. Now, Baal was a sun god. So if anybody could have called down fire, it should have been Baal. So they are looking for Baal to provide their needs. You know what oftentimes you do? You get out there through the week and you get to thinking that Baal, your little god, can provide your needs. Can give you what gratifies you, what pleases you, whatever. You know what it's going to take? God to fill that need. It's only God going to be able to do that. And you're going to make a decision to serve God and not that idol. That's what you're going to do. Otherwise, you're going to get out of tune with God. Now, you think, people say, man, you're just like your dad or you're just like your mama. People say that. Why would they say that? Well, there's a thing. I wrote it down here. I've done some research on it. It's called the law of unconscious assimilation. You know what that means? We become like those we spend time with. Your companion of fools, you're going to become foolish. If you're a companion of wise, you're going to become wise. That's just how it is. You will even adopt the speech of those that you're around. You ever been around somebody? I had a friend one time, and he moved to a different state, and he stayed there for 2 years. I didn't see him for 2 years. He come back, and he was talking just like they talk. And I said, what? What is going on, man? I said, why are you talking? Why are you saying that like that? He said, I don't know. What am I saying? He had adopted the way they speak. Now, I've been around people that read the Bible a whole lot, and I've even been around some people, they get to talking. And you know what? Sometimes I've heard them say unto and things like that. They'll say things. And they'll, why? Because they are speaking as the oracles of God. They've been reading that Bible and fellowship with the Lord. It's starting to get inside of their vocabulary.
That's right.
It's unconscious assimilation. I'm going to read a few verses to you for sake of time. One of them is out of Psalm 119, verse 63. And I was going to read 1 Kings 7:14 and 2 Kings 17:15 stuff. But y'all, I think this one right here will get the point across. Psalm 119, verse 63 reads this. he said, I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. You know what, David, as you read Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, a lot of the things that Solomon got, you can find it cross-referenced in the Psalms and in David's life. Why? Because Solomon got a lot of his wisdom from his daddy. You know what you're going to find out? The Bible said, well, I said I wasn't going to read it, but I'm going to read one over here in 1 Kings chapter 7, verse number 14. I want you to get this principle here about being in tune with God. It says, no, I don't want that one. I want 2 Kings 17. I want that verse 15. Yeah, here it is. It says, and they rejected his statutes and his covenant that he made with their fathers, and his testimonies which he testified against them, and they followed vanity and became vain and went after the heathen that were round about them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. Guess what? You take on the likeness of what you follow.
That's right.
It'll tell off on you after a while.
That's right.
A lot of times you say, well, so-and-so's doing this or so-and-so's doing that. We better... You just give it time. it'll weave itself in their speech and it'll weave itself in their behavior. It'll become a part of you.
Yes, it will.
You know why I'm telling you to serve God and do what God says and stuff like that? Because you become like who you follow. They follow vanity and became vain. You know what's wrong with people today? Look at me. Look at me. I'm going off a cliff. You know why? Because it's just vanity. They think everything's about them, like that song said, because they're so vain. You over here talking like this over here, and they wonder what they're saying about me. They're not talking about you. They're talking about themselves like everybody else is. This one guy, he's walking by. There's a whole bunch of cars going down through there. And he's walking by, and he's looking and looking and looking. And it's a few buddies, and they're going to a ball game together. And this one old boy, I happen to know this. I've seen it happen. But anyway, they're going out through there. And one buddy said, "Why are you looking at all them cars?" And the other friend said, "He's not looking inside them cars. He's looking at himself, his reflection in all those windows." That's what people do. They're looking at themselves.
That's right.
You got to become like the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what we need to do? Everybody's got some kind of role model. There's a story about the two kids, and both of them want to be like their daddy. And the older brother said, "You ain't going to be like daddy. You don't even look like daddy. You're just going to be a little run all your life type of conversation." He talked about how much he liked his daddy, The other little brother walked off and said, "He can talk about being like daddy. I'll just be like daddy." You know what? You know what a lot of people do? They talk about being like the Lord, and they talk about being like the Lord, and they'll talk about it all the time, but they're not like the Lord. You know what we're supposed to do? Not talk about it, not brag about it, whatever. Our goal is to get up in the morning and say, "God, what pleases you?" And just do it. You don't have to talk about it all the time. People talk about how much work they do and all this stuff. I've learned this right. Most people that talk about what all they do don't do it. The people who actually are doing things, just get up and do it. You know what we need to do? Make a decision and say, "God, I'm going to serve you because I love you." Not because you're afraid God's going to break down your water heater. He don't care about your water heater. You think He's worried about that? He was divisive. Not only that, he was determined.
That's right.
Verse number 30, you've got to be determined. I hope people will get a determination about them. In verse number 30, it said, "Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down." Look, repair work's hard work. It's hard to repair some things. People's going to bash you. It's like over verse 17, they're blaming everything on Elijah, bashing you, blaming you all the time. You ever notice how people blame you for stuff they did? Or blame somebody else? So they did it and they're blaming somebody else. Elijah says, it's not me that's troubling Israel, it's you. You know who brings most of the trouble in my life? Me. I get to analyze and I'll say, "What is going on today?" And I get to looking at what all happened that day and it was all my fault.
That's right.
I'm telling you, you have to be determined to repair things. Now here's the thing that gets you in the ministry. When you're determined, here's Elijah, and he's got all these people that's against him. Y'all, you're trying to do good things, and y'all, you got to understand this. And if you don't get nothing else, get this right here: the closer you try to get the Lord Jesus Christ, the more the devil's going to try to trip you up.
Amen.
Now you're going to have people that you love. There's going to be people, as if the Lord tarries and we don't go up in the rapture pretty soon, the Lord keeps us here for years on. You know what people's going to do? They're going to come right in here in this church, and they're going to trample on you. "Oh, I can't believe all this happened. I'm done." You better not do that. Why? There was two preachers talking, and one guy was the younger one. He hadn't learned this lesson yet. And he was talking to this older preacher, and this preacher, the older preacher, thank the Lord, he's been through a lot, and he had some wisdom about it. And the young preacher said, "Man, this is going on, and I was good to this church member, and she did this, and she run me down behind my back. This other guy, he came in, I helped him, and he's not even come to church anymore. And these other folks, they're running me down, and people talking bad about me, and all this stuff." And the preacher's standing there going, "Okay." And he said, "Now, are you finished?" And the guy said, "Yeah, I guess." And he said, "Well, you need to learn the doctrine of the doormat, I guess." He said, "The doctrine of the doormat?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Is the Lord Jesus Christ the door?" He said, "Yeah, the Bible says so." He said, "Do you believe that?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, if the Lord Jesus Christ is the door, can't you be His doormat?" So people can wipe their feet off on you so they can get to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If that's what it takes for somebody to get the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what it takes. Is it about us or is it about them coming through the door?
Amen.
Is the mat more important than the door?
Amen.
What I'm showing y'all is you're going to go through ministry and God's going to use you, and God's going to, if you'll yield to Him and be available to Him, He's going to use you in what capacity He has you in. But people are going to trample on you and you're going to get dirty just like that doormat.
Amen.
But you know what the blessing is about that doormat? Man, I got a pressure washer. I bought me one of them dirt balls pressure washers. And that thing will get some stuff clean. You ask Carla, she spent four days. I knew a lot. She running that pressure washer, and y'all, she made things that had gotten completely filthy look brand new. You know what the Lord can do? Wash you by the water of the Word of God, and He can just get on that doormat right there and spray you right back off and say, okay, hey, you're ready for some more trampling. Hey, you cleaned up, you look good. Just let some more folks trample on you. Why? One of these days, you're going to be inside the door of the Lord Jesus Christ, and nobody will ever be able to open that door. You'll have sweet fellowship forever. But that's on the other side. You've got to be willing to be trampled on some to help some people. Y'all, you're going to have people get to the place where the further along we get to this thing, the Bible says that people are going to be lovers of their own selves. You're dealing with a generation of selfish people. So you know what we got to do? Just be willing to be trampled on a little bit. If that's what it takes to help people get to the door, that's what it takes.
Amen.
You know what?
Amen.
If you don't, you'll get out of tune with God. And before long, you can't hear the sound of the voice. Before long, nothing sweet. Before long, the songs aren't sweet anymore. You know what's happened? He didn't get out of tune. You did. Not only that, but the second thing I want you to see is not only took a stand, but he encouraged others to sacrifice. In verse 33 and verse 34, verse 30, number one, he put people to the test. They got to repair this altar right here. And look at verse number 33 down here. It says, "And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, 'Fill four barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood.'" That's a strange thing. Why is that? Why is he putting them to the test? You think about it. They're in a drought. That's the most precious thing they had. Was water, and they're thinking, "You want us to take all our water supply and pour it on the sacrifice when we're in a drought? Are you crazy, man?" Now you think about this right here. What do you need to repair some of your places of sacrifice that are broken down? What's in your life that you used to sacrifice yourself to, and man, you'd stay up late at night for it, or you'd get up early in the morning for it, or you would put yourself on the line, and you no longer do it anymore? Why? I got this other precious thing over here. You know what happens? You get out of tune with God. You get to the place where you just think, "Hey, I know best right here, and I've got this." Yeah, but you've stopped sacrificing. The whole blessing of being able to serve God on this side is to be able to sacrifice for the Lord. Once you get to heaven, the sacrificing is done. You're in glory. You've got that new body. No more sin. No more sorrow. No more death. All that stuff. The time for sacrifice is here and now. Now, I want to show you a few things if God wills here. Hold your place there in Kings and look at Romans chapter 6, and we're going to look at Romans chapter 12. What the best thing I can do, he put them to the test as you're turning there, is after your salvation is put the Lord first and sacrifice to the Lord, even if it don't make sense. It did not make sense to them to take all their water and pour it on that thing. When I read that before, that don't make a bit of sense. But what you do, the whole thing is about sacrifice. The Lord's about to provide for you. You imagine, here we are. We're holding on to these barrels of water. I got a 55-gallon drum of water, man. I'm doing good. When God says, "I got the whole heavens full of rain for you."
Amen.
You'd rather have your 55-gallon drum of water, you think, just a whole bunch, than you had a whole heaven full of rain. Sometimes you don't even know what you got anyway. I read a story about a guy. I was reading about a millionaire back in the 1800s. He had so much gold that he kept it in bags. And he had this cellar. He went in and he would go in there every now and then, just hold his bags of gold and count them and stuff like that. He never would open them. So one of his servants knew that he'd just go in there and look at all that gold, but he never opened it up. So you know what his servant did? His servant went and stole half of his gold. and put pebbles in the bags. So you know what that guy was doing? He was going up there and he's holding these pebbles and saying, "Thank God for all this gold I've got. Man, what a blessing to have all this gold." He didn't have half the gold he thought he had. You know what? We don't have half what we think we have. It's not ours to start with. And God can give you much more if you'll trust Him. He's got a whole heaven full of supply. And we're holding on to all this stuff. I've got it, it's mine. You don't even know what you have. You probably got a bunch of pebbles. Now I want you to see this thing right here in Romans 6 verse 13. It says, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members is," watch this, "instruments," like that guitar over there, "of righteousness unto God." You know what happens with us? If y'all are anything like me, the harmony's not sounding correct. It's just not harmonizing. You're out of tune. Now, your body is called an instrument in that text right there. Why? To show you pictures. God uses word pictures. Now look at Romans 12 with me. Now you say, what are you supposed to do? We're talking about sacrifice. Your body's like an instrument. You got to sacrifice. You get out of tune. Now you got to think about this. The Lord don't ever get out of tune. Here we are in sweet fellowship with the Lord, and we're supposed to be in tune with Him. Now, you know what I've seen people do? I've seen people that had bands and stuff, and you know what they'd do? They would stand up there together, and they would play a chord, and they'd have the other person play a chord like this right here, and they would tune to each other. Now, I've watched them do that. Now, you know what happens oftentimes? Here's us and God walking along, and I play my chord, he plays his chord. You know, oftentimes we're bad about saying, "You're out of tune, God." God said, "No, my instrument never gets out of tune. It's yours that needs tuning." Amen. So if we're out of tune, it's not sounding right. It's us that's out of tune, not God. Now, is there a chapter in the Bible that deals with sacrifice under your mail today that'll help you get in tune? One of the chapters, as soon as I start feeling prideful, I get in this chapter right here. Now let me tell you something about this before I read this chapter. This is what your flesh will do to you. You'll get rid of the sin of pride, and the Holy Spirit will help you get rid of that, and you'll get prideful that you're not prideful. You'll get to where you start rejoicing in all things, and then you're rejoicing in your flesh because you're rejoicing in all things. You know what the worst form of badness is? Human goodness. When you start thinking you're good, that's whenever you're bad.
That's right. Yeah.
The worst form of badness is human goodness.
That's right.
You get out of tune with God.
Yeah.
So you say, was there a chapter that shows me how to get in tune and dealing with sacrifice like they're talking about? Right here. Romans 12, he said, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God," verse 1, "that ye present your bodies," watch this, "a living," as a daily, "a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." You say, okay, a lot of times you read that chapter and you think, well, that's it. I'm about to go to the next thing. Well, the rest of the chapter is telling you how to get in tune with God. The rest of the chapter is telling you how to yield your bodies as a sacrifice. And if you go down through here and you're not doing these things, guess what? You're out of tune.
Amen.
So I go right here and get a tune up and I say, okay, am I doing this? "And be not conformed to the world." The rest of the people in 1 Kings 18, they were being conformed to the world. They were being like all the rest of the whole religious realm of that day. You can't be conformed to the world. Why? It gets you out of tune. Now you think about some of these verses. I drop down here and I think, well, here's some that, you know, I've been doing okay here. And I get down to verse 9. It says, "Let love be without dissimulation."
There you go.
Are you partial in your love? Or hypocritical in your love? Do you love some and you don't love others?
Right.
Are you partial? You only love somebody whenever they're being good to you, you know?
Yeah.
Do you love people even whenever they're bad to you? Do you love, oh no, your enemies? You know, one of the best things that I've learned that's helping me, and I've, like I said, I've got a lot of growing to do. As soon as the flesh tells me something bad about somebody and I don't like that person, I tell you what, I hope that person right there steps on a crack and falls and breaks their back type of deal, steps on a banana peel. Look, you know what I do? Lord, I need to get in there and pray for that person. Get down and say, God, I hope you bless that person so much. I hope their blessings roll over. Lord, I hope it just... Yeah, I hope you completely fill their cup and it overflows. Why? Amen. To put that flesh down. Why, if you get that old bitterness in your heart and your spirit, you'll get out of tune with God, and before long you can't hear what He's telling you about love, because you only love the folks that love you. We're getting out of tune. Here's another one. Just a quick checklist. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Now, I'm going to tell you something, man. That's a hard verse. You see something evil, do you abhor that? And abhor, that's a rough word. You can't stand it. You just look on that thing like it's terrible. It's a checklist right there. You see that? How easy we get out of tune with God. Oh, everything's wonderful, Lord. I don't know about that. Be kindly affectionate one toward another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Putting somebody else over above you. They think they're better than me. According to the Bible, they are. Preferring them above you. That's not our society. They are the course of this world. This is all this stuff right in this chapter is against God's course. It's the course of the world is to put yourself above everybody else. You know what he's saying right there? Be not slothful in business. This world's so lazy. You can't hardly find a worker today.
Amen.
You can't hardly pay a worker today. Why? Slothful in business.
That's right.
What I'm telling you is, you get out of tune with God, you get over here and you think, well, a little slumber, a little sleep, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come on thee, just like a traveler. Somebody's traveling all the time, spend all their money on travel. Just put it all on credit cards, and one of these days you got such a bill up there you can't pay it.
That's right, bro.
Slothful in business. You know, it says, distributing to the necessity of the saints, their needs, not their greeds. You know what it says? Given to hospitality. Here's a rough one right here. I'm just going out. I'll stop in a minute. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. We better just get to the altar and pray.
Amen.
Why? That's a hard verse. You'll get out of tune with God. Why? Man, I'm telling you, there are going to be people that persecute you. And people, you know what he's saying? Just bless them. Why? It'll poison your spirit. Here's Elijah up here, and you know what he's doing? He's wanting to see other people sacrifice for God. You know what we ought to do? Is point people to that and say, here's the test right here. Romans 12, right there. There's a good several checklists. If people love checklists, there's your good checklist.
That's right.
And I didn't go over all of it. I'm just telling you, if you want to sacrifice, that puts the flesh down right there, and that's how to be a living sacrifice, is living that chapter right there. And I tell you, I'll spend the rest of my life trying to just do that chapter. It's hard, and what I'm telling you is, he encouraged others to sacrifice. He put them to the test. Now, the essence of sin, one preacher said, is my claim to my right to myself. This is mine. It's all mine.
Amen.
Okay, well, just sink with it then.
That's right.
What I'm telling you is, when we get that attitude of, Lord, it's all yours, you do with it with what you want to, that helps you sacrifice for the Lord. This body's yours, these eyes are yours, these hands are yours, these feet are yours. And I'm going to tell you what, that's how to get in tune with God, and that's how to keep that joy up in your heart.
Yeah.
I don't know how we're doing on time, but I dropped my phone. Man, like, don't look down. I'm almost done. Now look, I want you to see this too. He put them to the test. Look at this. He pointed them to the area to trust in verse number 36. I want you to see this. And then y'all can go eat. By the time y'all get there, see everybody else be gone. That's how you look at it. Look at verse 36. It says, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah, the prophet, came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things, watch this, at thy word. He pointed them to the area to trust, and that's the Word of God. He said, I did all this at thy Word. You know what this world's trying to do? Rub the Word of God out.
That's
it's
right.
Like the little boy. Here he is. He's got a piece of brass that's got a name on it. And he wanted his name on it. So it had somebody else's name on it. So he starts rubbing it. And his daddy says, son, what are you doing? He said, I'm trying to rub this name out. He says, son, all you're doing is polishing that thing. You're making that name brighter. You know what? The more this world tries to rub the Word of God out, and the more this world tries to rub the Christian out, all he's doing is polishing the Christian. All he's doing is polishing the Word of God, and it's just going to get better and brighter every day.
Amen.
The devil's trying. Here you go to work, and you got that junk going on just like anybody else. You got things going on that you wish wasn't going on. And guess what? That's you being polished a little bit right there. I can see the name of Christ right here a little bit better. Let me take that. I'll rub you right here. And people say, "Ah, it's rubbing me the wrong way." It's getting that dirt off of you. It's polishing you.
That's right.
If you'll just trust the Word of God, you know what He's able to do? He's pointing them to where your supply is. He said, "I am able." God's able to supply all your need according to His riches. I'm pointing you where to trust. That's the Word of God. And those promises are in the Word of God. Not only that, but it causes people to turn. Verse 37. "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that Thou art the Lord God and that Thou hast turned their heart back again." That's revival right there. Turning their heart back again. You know what we need to do? Repent. Turn back. You know what you got to do? Do what He did. If you're in tune, you can help others get in tune. Now look, if I was standing up here like I was showing you, and I've got two or three people, we're going to play some songs together, I can't help them get in tune if my guitar is out of tune. A lot of times we try to tune everybody else up, we're not in tune. You need to tune up, you need to tighten up, you need to do it. Well, have you done right? Have you got the mote out of your eye? The beam out of your eye? Light pole, got a light pole sticking out and say, "I see a speck in that person's eye over there." Yeah, but you better get tuned up first. Get that light pole out of your eye.
That's right.
You know what we got to do? Is get in tune with God so we can help other people get tuned up. He's pointing them here. Where to turn? They're repenting because He's pointing them where to turn. Here's the last thing. He was sensitive to the sound. I really am closing here. Verse 41, He was able to hear that sound. Now, I want you to look at His posture. Take a look at His posture. This is something to me. I think this is amazing to me. Verse number 42, it says, "So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down on the earth and put his face between his knees." Now, y'all go home and cast yourself on the ground and put your face between your knees.
That's right, sir.
That's an uncomfortable position. Look, I don't want to do that. I don't even know how he did that. You know what he's saying? I'm willing to be uncomfortable if somebody else will get comfort. I'm willing to be uncomfortable for a little while if somebody else will get some comfort. You ever notice how we always want our particular comforts and everything else, and we don't care if anybody else is comfortable at all? Long as I'm comfortable. You know what he did? "Lord, I'm going to get down here and pray, and I'm going to put myself in the most uncomfortable position I can think of." You know what he did? He prayed. He prayed, he prayed, he prayed. It separates you from that worldly thought. You say, how do you know? Here's two men who are important at that time. One man went up to eat and drink. The other man went up to pray. He didn't go up to play, he went up to pray.
Amen.
Two separate thoughts. Why? Because one man was connected to God, he was in tune with God in prayer, and the other man, all he could think about was his next meal. Instead of going up, you know what Ahab should have did? Went up and cast himself on the ground beside Elijah and said, "God, I see that you cast this fire down, and you, Lord, I see that you are the God, and here you are about to send rain. Lord, I'm unworthy. What a blessing, God. You gave me everything I've got," and got himself uncomfortable for a minute. And then he could have had the comforts and the blessings of God. We want our own comforts the way we want them when God says, "Hey, I'm about to give you my comfort that'll last longer than your comfort." But you want your temporary comfort more than His eternal comfort. What I'm telling you is, if you get out of tune with God, you will trade temporary comfort for a comfort that'll last.
Amen.
And y'all, I don't want to see you do that. I don't want to do that myself. Prayer keeps that proper view on sin. You know why Elijah didn't go up and sin? He had a proper view. I read about this ermine. And these hunters used to go hunt these ermine. They're kind of like ferrets. But they have some real beautiful white fur. And I read about these hunters. You know how they catch these ermine? They wanted that fur and that white fur, and the only way to catch it, they would put mud all around outside of its hole. You ought to see how they do this thing. They got pictures of it. So you know what that ermine would do? Instead of defiling its own fur, it would stay in there and it would be caught or killed because it didn't want to defile its fur. You know what prayer do? Instead of defiling yourself with sin, you would rather stay in there and die daily to self, sacrifice. You know what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you and I? He sacrificed.
Yes, He did.
He is our sacrifice on the cross.
Amen.
He became sin for us.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, you know what we ought to do? We ought to at least say, Lord, I don't want to be defiled with that same sin. Lord, you saved me from sin. But you know what happens? We want things from the Lord, but not the way He gives it. Here, like we ask for grace. I'm just giving you this for instance. 1 Peter 5:5 says, "Be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." We say, "I want grace." Well, how do you get grace? According to the Bible, you be humble. You have to get humble. Guess what? People take off their clothing of humility and catch the devil's cold and wonder why they're sick.
That's right.
Sick on God, why I got the devil's cold, man? What I'm telling you is, He's showing you how to stay in tune with God, sacrifice, and die daily with God. And it has to do with staying away from that sin. Now you think about this. I'm trying my best. Y'all know y'all love me. But look, I want to be a blessing to you. But you think about somebody. Let's just say here's a boy, and one of his family members got killed with a knife. And that little boy's cutting things in the kitchen, making sandwiches and stuff like that, and using that knife every day. And people come up and say, "Isn't that a knife that killed your family member?" "Oh yeah, yeah, I know, but you know, well, we hate all that, but I still use it. It's a good knife." You'd say, "That boy's a psycho. Something wrong with that guy." Now, you know what? Sin is the knife that put our Savior on Calvary.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, you see how we get out of tune with God? We forget the perspective on sin. You know what's wrong with a lot of us? We're like a psycho, man. We sit out here just wallowing this sin, and doing all these things, and don't care. Here you are, using for a common kitchen utensil the knife that killed your Savior. You got to look at sin. You know what prayer do? Prayer will keep you in tune with God, so you're able to see sin for what it really is. It's a killer. Sin will kill everything it comes in contact. Lust bringeth forth sin, and sin bringeth forth death. Here's the last thing. I'm almost done. His prayer was pointed. You know what he did? He prayed for rain. You know what we need to be doing? Praying for specific things. Specific things. You know what he did? He prayed for rain, and God. Oftentimes, God's answered him. Tell him your prayers. And you know what? You think, "Well, God's not answering my prayer." You just forgot what you're praying for. You prayed for it. You cast it up there and didn't even write it down or nothing. And He's answered all kinds of things, and you don't even know what all He's done for you because you've forgotten it with our little small minds that we have.
That's right.
We're gonna get up there and we're gonna say, "Lord, you know, I prayed for a whole bunch of stuff," and the Lord's like, "Yeah, look at all this stuff right here. I've done that for you, you just forgot it." We need to be specific, so when the prayer gets answered, we know what's happened here. Now, he encouraged others to persevere. Verse 43, he said, "Go up 7 times. Now, don't you know, that old boy right there had thought 7 times, he went up 3 or 4 times, that's not going to work. You know what we've got to do? This stuff ain't easy, man. Living a Christian life is not easy. It takes some sacrifice. Y'all, I realize this morning, it makes me want to study and pray more. I realize y'all had to get up early and get your family together and go through all the stuff the devil tries to mess you up with on Sunday morning. I know that. But you have your sacrifices. Why? To do something for the Lord. It's going to take perseverance. This stuff's not going to get easier. It's going to get harder. But I want you to see something on this thing right here. We want to see each other's perfection. That Bible said he saw something like a man's hand. In verse number 44, he says, "A little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand." Now you think about that man's hand right there. It's a man's hand, Elijah's hand, that stretched out for God's supply. God said, "Yeah, it was just a man that stretched his hand out, and I'm gonna send the rain on account of a man's hand." Now think about how many blessings you could bring down out of heaven through the hand of a man. Why? That man of that hand is reaching out to God Almighty, and he's sending you what he needs from his abundant supply.
That's right.
He said, "I see a hand like a man's hand out there." You know what you got? You say, "Well, I just got a man's hand." If it reaches out to God, you can gain all the strength in the universe.
That's it.
It's more than just a man's hand. So you think about this. Are you in tune with God? Do you know what God can do for you? Maybe you're out of tune with God, need to get in tune with God. You think about what all sin did. The angels left their first estate, caused the fall of the human race, damned souls to everlasting fire. We need to get to the place where we tune up with God and say, "God, I've got this in my life and I want it out."
Amen.
And you're the great physician, and you can go in there and cut this thing out and help me.
That's right.
Now, I want to tell you something about my Lord. this is really is it. I want to tell you something about how the Lord will help you. I read a story about a guy, this back when they used to develop pictures. You know, you used to take them, and you had to go get them developed. Y'all remember taking them up there to Walmart, and you had to get them there. All right. So this guy, he knew his neighbor had been stealing things from his shed. He said, "That's it. I'm going to take some photos, and I'm going to get him convicted. I'm going to catch him in the act, and I'm going to take those photos up there. I'm going to get them developed, and he's going to pin him. Going to get him convicted." Anyway, he catches him out there, and he's around the corner taking him pictures. He said, "I got him. I got him." He couldn't wait to go up there and get those pictures developed. You know what happened? He got them developed, and his finger was in front of the flash. And you know what? All he could see was a blot. What happened? That guy didn't get caught. Why? Because the photo, when it was developed, had a blot in front of it. You know what the Lord Jesus said?
Amen.
"Blotting out all the handwriting of ordinance that was against you, nailing them to his cross." You know what I did? If you'll do this, you're guilty, the Bible says. Guilty, guilty, guilty. Deserving hell, deserving everlasting fire, deserving all that badness that could come to you. And you know what happens if you'll trust Jesus Christ? The devil comes up there and said, "I will show you the photo of the man that's guilty. Here's Chase Massengill right here. Here it is, Father. Here's him in the act." And the Father says, "Nothing there. It's blotted out." The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has blotted it all out.
Amen.
You know what He did? He took the blood of the Lord Jesus and just put that blood on the door of my heart. And now the Father sees that blood and He don't see me. He don't see you. You know what you need to do if you hadn't trusted Him? Trust Him right now. Clear and clean. Everything you've ever done, all blotted out, all under the blood.
Amen.
And if you hadn't been serving Him, say, "God, I'm glad You're a merciful, loving God. I'm coming to You. I'm going to repair up these altars right here. I need Your help. I'm going to start offering my body a living sacrifice on the Lord Jesus Christ."
Amen.
And He'll help you.
Yes, He will.
If we could, Dad, if you would close us out.